And so we come to the final one in our series of the Spirit of Elijah. We have gone through Elijah in lockdown over the past 3 months. It's the end of an era for Elijah. Someone has said that Elijah is effectively the very embodiment of the cause of God and the Word of God. This is the reason we find Elijah being used in the New Testament as the representation of all the prophets. You will remember the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus was there, and Moses, representing the law, was there, and Elijah, representing the prophets. As we come to this time when Elijah leaves the earth, the state of Israel is not really much improved. It's still a bit under the influence of Jezebel and the cult of Baal worship. There's still oppression of the poor. There's still an injustice there in the society and in the state. And yet, there were signs of hope. Because scattered through Israel, and indeed, this is what the prophets were, Elijah was going to visit. He was going to visit the prophets, the school of the prophets that were there. Elisha also was going to be the hope for the future. Back in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah had been asked by God to anoint Elisha as his successor. And so Elisha has been his accomplice. He has been walking with him and serving with him for a number of years before this point. Everywhere Elijah went, Elisha went. So we have this situation where Israel is still not flourishing spiritually, where there is hope of the schools of prophets around the country, and you also have Elisha. There is work to be done. The mission needs to continue. And that's what I've entitled this sermon, The Mission Continues. Because with the passing of Elijah, God's work will still prevail. God's work will still go on. God's mission will still be accomplished. God is building his church. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And so we find that where a great prophet passes from this scene, God is raising up someone new. He's raising up someone else. God has plans and purposes, and he will bring them to pass in his time. So here in this passage, there are themes of succession and mentoring and passing on the baton. These are good themes, and they're good themes for us today in church life also. And that's what I want to reflect on as we consider this theme of the mission continuing. These are important themes of succession, and especially at a time when the state of Israel, and indeed sometimes the state of the church, can be seen as weak and on the back foot. Our culture is not friendly to the Bible at the moment. Our culture is not friendly to Christian values. We find that there are attacks on the sanctity of life and the dignity of life, and the gap between rich and poor is widening. This lockdown seems to have made the situation worse, with churches unable to meet. And yet I believe that in a situation like this, God is still doing a great work. Sometimes when things seem to be at their weakest and their most vulnerable, that's when God does his greatest work. His Spirit is still moving. And even, I'm sure, as we come out of this situation of lockdown, we will see how God has been moving and changing lives and even building the church, even though we cannot gather formally, corporately. God is faithful, and God's cause will prevail. Now let's think about these little schools of the prophets. We find that they were in Bethel and in Jericho. And before Elijah was to leave this scene, God encouraged him to go and visit the schools of the prophets. He was to inspire them and encourage them and give a farewell word to them before he left. They would have soaked up all that he had to say to them, and especially as they were aware also that Elijah was to be taken from them soon. Elisha also was not wanting Elijah to leave his sight. Even though Elijah in this passage says to Elisha, look, you stay here, I'm going to visit the school of the prophets. Elisha says, no, I'm going with you. He wanted to stay with him right to the very end. He knew these moments were precious. You know, as disciples of Jesus today, we need to be learning from our mentors, the saints of the past and the present, soaking in all that they can teach us. All of us are shaped by people and many kinds of influences. I know today that many people will listen to podcasts and watch videos and YouTube and so on, just like this. When I was younger, I grew up reading a lot of Christian books. I read the Bible, but also there were key authors and pastors and preachers that shaped me, and I soaked in their teaching, and they shaped me and formed me. People like John Stott, Jim Packer, people like John Piper, Philip Yancey, Richard Foster, Tim Keller, all these folks have shaped me and shaped my understanding of the Christian faith and of the gospel, and indeed of what I am as a minister as well. And so as Elijah visits the school of the prophets, he is molding them and mentoring them and shaping them and influencing them as they seek to reach the next generation. We need the church to be like the school of the prophets, speaking prophetically into our culture, speaking prophetically into the issues of the day. And that's what they would have done. So I wonder who is shaping your thinking. Can I encourage you to read books, good Christian books, to watch podcasts and listen to podcasts and videos? These things help to shape us and inform us and teach us as disciples today. And of course, there's a younger generation that is being raised up, a new younger generation of leaders who will help to lead the church through the particular challenges that face us in the 21st century. Times are changing. From when I started 30 years ago, a lot has changed. Even in the last 10 years, a lot has changed. And we need people to prophetically speak into the situation that we find today. Not yesterday, not years ago, but to today. Each new generation brings new challenges. We can long for the golden years of the past, but the gospel is carried by new people with new methods, new personalities. Elisha inherited Elijah's mantle. The blessing and the spirit and the power of God was now to rest on Elisha. It was the same spirit. It was the same power. In fact, Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of blessing. Now, I don't think that means that Elisha was asking to do double what Elijah did. No, I think because he felt so weak, so vulnerable, so inadequate beside Elijah, he was saying, Elijah, I need a double portion of your spirit to even come close to you, to even match what you are doing. And so that's what Elisha asked for. And that's what he got. And indeed, as we read on through 2 Kings and we read into the story of Elisha, he does a lot of the same things, a lot of the same miracles as Elijah did. And yet Elisha was different. He was a different personality. He was not Elijah. I'm sure there were some in the school of the prophets who thought to themselves, you know, Elijah is passing. Things are never going to be the same again. And maybe they thought, you know, Elisha, he's not going to be the same as Elijah. And yet he is. He's got the same spirit. He's got the same power, even though he is a different person. And of course, in verse 15, there's that recognition. As they see what Elisha does and as they see the River Jordan parting, they say, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. God is always doing new things. He's always raising new leaders, different ministers, and so on. In terms of Highkirk, many of the congregation, I'm sure, remember Mr. McCaughey and the influence that he had and how he built up the church and so on, was a great servant of God. And then it was time for Russell Burney to come along, and perhaps some at that stage thought, you know, Russell, will he not be the same as Mr. McCaughey, and it'll not be as good? And yet God used him to continue to build the church and to lead the church. And then, of course, I come along to replace Russell, and people, I'm sure, said, well, Norman's not Russell, and he's not maybe as good as Russell Burney. And maybe in some years to come, God will bring a new leader, a new minister who will replace me. And maybe they'll say, well, I'm glad that guy Norman's gone. Who knows? But God is always doing a new thing. It's the same Spirit. He's building his church. He's building his kingdom. And he will have different emphases and different personalities with different people. But the work of God, the mission, continues. And we give thanks for that mission. We give thanks for what God is doing because it is his church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And the mission continues. And the church is built. So here we find the schools of the prophets are encouraged by Elijah before he leaves them. But they recognize that a new era is coming, a new generation is coming. Elisha is to be a new leader. You know, one of the great encouragements of this past year has been seeing the younger generation rising up, getting ready to take on the baton. Over the last couple of months, I've been taking some young people through our Christian Foundation course in readiness for full membership. Now, I think I've had the biggest number of people going through this course this year. I think something like 27, many of them in their teens and in their early 20s. How wonderful it is to see that large group of young people wanting to serve God, to become full members in the church, and to serve this generation. And they will reach this generation better than I will or better than their parents will. They will have their own unique personalities and gifts. And I look forward to the day and the evening, perhaps, when we can meet again formally as a church and we receive these young people into full membership of the Church of Jesus Christ here in Highkirk. And we pray God's Spirit of anointing and blessing on them as they seek to serve the Church of Jesus Christ in their generation. The mission continues. So pray for these young people because these days are difficult. They've got new challenges, certainly different challenges from when I was growing up as a teenager. The mission continues. They will carry the baton. Let's pray for them to be strong, to be faithful, to be steadfast, just as Elisha was in taking on the mantle of Elijah. It's the same Spirit. It's the same power. It's the same church. And then when Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind to heaven, in verse 12, Elisha cries out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think what it means is that the real power of the kingdom, the real might of the kingdom, was not in the physical chariots and horses of the kings of Israel, but it was the spiritual power, the heavenly power of God. That's where the true power rested. That was the power that Elijah had because it was in a sovereign God. Interestingly, whenever Elisha would die in 2 Kings 13 and 14, the king then, Jehoash, he said exactly the same thing on Elisha's death. The chariots and horsemen of Israel. There was a recognition of where the true power lay. Now, we as the church need to remember this. We need to remember where the true power lies. It lies in God and in His Holy Spirit. The governments can have their laws, their armies, their police forces, and so on. But God is the one who is in control. God is sovereign. Jesus is king. Jesus is on the throne. And there is great power in prayer. As I said before, when you read to the end of the Bible, you see in Revelation, Jesus wins. We need to be on his side, the winning side, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. God will prevail. God's mission continues. You know, one of the big differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament is with regard to the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain unique individuals for a specific time, a specific place, a specific task. But whenever Jesus ascended to heaven and he left his disciples, he promised that he was sending the Holy Spirit to all his disciples, to all of the church. And so that's a major difference between the Old and the New Testament. It's the same Spirit, but he is now available to all in the church. In the book of Acts, on that day of Pentecost, the flames of fire settled upon all who were gathered in that place, and they all received the anointing of the Spirit. And so today, as a believer in Ballymena, you have the filling of the Holy Spirit upon you and in you. Just the same as a believer in Beijing, whether it's west or east, north or south, the Holy Spirit is there. Jesus has given us this greatest gift, the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is through that Spirit that the mission continues. So Elijah's ministry, although it was coming to an end, the same Spirit that dwelt in Elijah was now going to be upon Elisha. There was work to be done. God was doing a new thing. As we close off this series, I want to remind you that there has been a motif or a theme or a picture that has run through Elijah's ministry. And it is the motif of fire. And we see it in our graphic on the screen. Quite often the fire fell during Elijah's ministry. And here as we bid farewell, we see it again. In verse 11, as Elijah is taken up and translated to heaven in the great whirlwind, we find we've got these horses of fire, the chariots of fire. What a spectacle that must have been for Elisha as he saw Elijah being translated from earth to heaven. And this is what we long for again. We long for the fire to fall, the fire of the Holy Spirit. We've referenced earlier the verse in James where James says, Elijah was a man just like us. And the question for us as we come near the end of this series, are we men and women like Elijah, with the spirit of Elijah, with the fire burning in our hearts? It's a bit of a trend at the minute for people to buy fire pits. And if you like, there's a fire pit in our souls, in our hearts. And we can stoke that fire pit with the fire of heaven and godliness and holiness and the Holy Spirit and purity and passion. Or we can stoke that fire with the fires of hell, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's the choice that we have today as we surrender our lives afresh to God. Which fire will we have? The fire and the spirit of Elijah, hopefully. Elijah had the fire of God in his soul, and so did Elisha. They had that determination, that perseverance to do God's will in the face of a lot of opposition. So what about me, and what about you? In the Scriptures, the Spirit of God is represented often by things like water, a dove, oil, wind, but supremely fire. As I said earlier, it was the fire that came at Pentecost. It's the fire that we long to see burning in our hearts and burning in the church, in Northern Ireland, in the UK, in the West, in the world. That's what we want to see. I remember back to when we had Simon Ponsonby, who did our first Word and Spirit conference. What a wonderful conference that was. And I remember Simon speaking in that conference about Pascal and the great incident, the great thing that happened to him. It was in November 1654. From about 10:30 at night until about 12:30, he had this wonderful experience of the Holy Spirit. And he wrote it down and he even kept it close to his heart for the rest of his life. But here's some of what he said. Fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. not of the philosophers and of the learned. Certitude, certitude, feeling, joy, peace, God of Jesus Christ, my God and your God. Your God will be my God. Forgetfulness of the world and of everything except God. He is only found by the ways taught in the gospel. The fire was in his heart. Or what of Charles Wesley in that great hymn, O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart. Kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. As we end this series, as we continue through this very difficult and strange time of lockdown, even though it's easing a bit, what will the new normal be for you? What will the new normal be for the church? Hopefully it will be with the fire of God, the spirit of Elijah, burning within us. Will the fire of God be in your bones? For these are the days of Elijah. Though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are a voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. As we close in prayer, please join with me. The words of this prayer will be on the screen. It's a prayer I've been praying a lot recently. So please do join with me. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen.